All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys were okay. Today's episode has got a couple of bits going on. The first thing is we have an interview with the brilliant Ben Taylor, aka The Magic Mod, making his second appearance on the podcast. And the reason why we're talking to him is he will be at the Water Rats for the live event on May the 17th. From what was just going to be me talking to Tony, now we've got live music from myself and from other listeners to the podcast that are going to be coming down with guitars doing acoustic Oasis stuff. Plus, now we've got our kid playing, as we talked about in the last episode, the Manchester-based performance poet and artist with a full band, which would be great. And Magic from The Magic Mod doing tricks and his own fantastic brand of magic and comedy. So it's going to be absolutely brilliant. If you haven't got your tickets yet and you can get to London, the Water Rats, which is near King's Cross, for May the 17th, it's a Friday night, then hit the link in the episode description or go over to any of my social media pages and you'll see it there. Get on down to the Water Rats and come on down and come and say hello. And yeah, it is likely to sell out, so don't wait until the last minute. If you're hearing this and you're before May the 17th, then please crack on, because we want to get this sold out. And especially if I want to do more, people have asked me about coming to whether it's Manchester or Liverpool or Birmingham or Scotland or Ireland. Get this one sold out, and then that gives me the real impetus that, okay, if we go somewhere else, that will probably sell out as well. So really good to talk to Ben Taylor, and we talk a little bit about the upcoming event. Plus, we also catch up with him. We have a chat about him hanging with the Libertines and Reverend and the Makers and Paul Weller. And it's a really nice chat. Funny guys. So I hope you guys enjoy that. And also today we are doing the A to Z of Boy with the Blues, which is a Liam Gallagher written track. And we dig into it. And we've had a really good breakdown from a chap called Mike D'Souza, who's given a fantastic breakdown and even re-recording the song himself, so we can really dig into the individual tracks. So I hope you guys enjoy that. So the first thing really in Oasis news, it's a very special rock and roll photography exhibition at University Place in Manchester. The opening event is Thursday the 23rd of May. It's free to come on down and be at the launch event for that. There's 80 photographs of bands and musicians from Manchester, including from Kevin Cummings, Paul Slattery, Jill Firmanowski, who's actually the founder of Rock Archive. Jill Firmanowski's going to be there. I'm going to try and get up there as well for that, which would be brilliant. Plenty of pictures of Oasis in there, some that have never been seen before. So really excited for that. The link for that is going to be in the description of this episode as well. So make sure you check that out, and then maybe see you there. In other news, Noel's Wait and Return EP, the Record Store Day exclusive, is now available to stream and buy, so you can check that out. Liam's been on Twitter a little bit. He's given away a couple of clues. So he said when he was asked when we can hear the next single, he said soon. When he was asked about upcoming tours, he said, always ready. I've been packed for a while now. I'm sitting on my sofa with my bucket hat on, passport in my hand, tapping. And then when someone asked another question about a gig, he said, I'm doing a little gig soon. Keep your ears peeled, which is interesting. And he also let one slip as well that when he responded to a question, he said that he would be supporting The Who on tour later on in the year, I think around October time. I don't think that had been officially announced anywhere. So good old Liam. So it sounds like he's going to be supporting The Who on tour in, I think it's the US and Canada, so that'd be quality. Radio X has done their top 100 Best of British chart again, and Oasis have got 15 songs in it this time. Queen has ended up dominating it quite a bit this year because of obviously Bohemian Rhapsody last year, but making up the top 100 we have in reverse order. So Little by Little was at 92, and then Some Might Say, Half the World Away, Rock and Roll Star, Acquiesce, Morning Glory, Whatever, Cigarettes Now Cold, The Master Plan, Supersonic, Wonderwall, Champagne Supernova, Don't Look Back in Anger, Slide Away, Live Forever. So how interesting. Slide Away is at number 4. Live Forever is at number 2. So yeah, really impressive that Slide Away, as not a single, you never hear it on the radio really, it's only really fans that know that tune, and yet it's at number 4 on the Best of British chart, which is incredible. And I think that will about do it for the news, so let's get on to this interview with the Magic Mod. I'll see you on the other side.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
Royal National Throat, Nose and Ear Hospital. There you go.
What's all that about?
It's because it clocks where you are, like the nearest place.
Oh, right.
And so it's assumed that we're in the Royal Nose and Throat Hospital. Anyway, we're not. Anyway, so I'm here with the Ben Taylor, aka the Magic Mod. How you doing, man? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all good, man. All good.
Yeah, and so I'm good. I'm all right. I'm always good. You know how it is. But we are at the...
How is it? No, come on.
How is it?
Yeah, well...
Seriously,
you know how it is. How is it then, mate?
Oh, things are pretty tough at the moment, actually.
All right, no, come on. Let's move on.
Yeah, all right. We'll move on. So we're here at the famous, the world famous King's Cross Water Rats, where I'm going to be on Friday the 17th of May. And are you busy that night?
I was, but then when you mentioned the grand...
A grand.
Well, no, when you said a grand, I was like, yeah, I'll be here, mate. Yeah. You did say a grand, didn't you?
Yeah, 1,000 lira, that's fine. So,
I might be busy.
So yeah, Friday 17th of May, if I can stump up the cash, we've got the Magic Mod, Ben Taylor, is going to be on the stage at the Water Rat.
Sweeping it.
Fantastic. Sweeping the stage. And doing some card tricks as well. And it's going to be an amazing night, because it's going to be a proper like variety show, mate. We've got yourself going to be doing some magic, doing some crowd interaction. It's going to be quality.
Bit of crowd surfing,
mate. That, you know what, it might even go down. When you see this place, it's relatively small, and you think, Christ, there's going to be 200 mad Oasis fans in here packing this place out, desperate to see Tony. Here are some tunes, hammered Friday night as well.
And no, they've got to have a booby prize, and that's me, isn't it?
But the thing is, it's a proper variety night. So we're going to have like an interview. I'm even going to do like a bit of a game show on stage, like an Oasis quiz game show. It's going to be quality.
You got any prizes?
No, it's just the respect of the fellow Oasis fans.
Next thing you tell me, you got Ken Dodd as well.
Exactly. Yeah, he's going to be there.
And is he still alive?
I think he's dead, actually.
Oh, edit that bit out then.
Yeah. But yeah, and so we're going to be doing and then also, I mean, it will be announced by the time this goes out.
Yeah.
Our kid, the Manchester based
Liam.
No, the second best option, which is Manchester based performance
poet.
Yeah,
he's good then.
Our kid, you know him. You met him at Five Live.
If it's the
you?
Same one, yeah, I'm sure it is.
Oh, it is. I mentioned it to him. Yeah.
Oh, good. I don't want to be promoting someone else, but no, it was. I mean, imagine that. I met him on Five Live. Did like some live studio audience interview shit, and they got me. Fuck knows why they got me. How random's that?
Because it was a Fulham game or something?
No, I don't know why they got me.
Sorry, not brought up Fulham. It's difficult times.
Touchy subject.
Let's move on.
You threw me off, mate.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. So I think they just got me on there because it was when the documentary just sort of come out, and I knew a woman who worked for Five Live. She said, come on, plug the documentary, and can you teach people a card trick over line? Over the radio. And I did, mate. It went well.
Oh, wow.
Because there's a blind magician, and he you know, he has to learn magic and that, and it's like, it's the same sort of principle. You know, if you were blind, how would you learn magic? So I sort of put myself in that sort of scenario.
It's tricky.
So it just shows, you know, close your eyes sort of thing, and I practiced with my mum. I said, close your eyes, let's try this thing, and if it works, it works. And it worked quite well, mate. It was a simple trick, which was just as well, really, but yeah. It worked quite well.
Yeah, yeah. I love the magic mum.
She's
all right. She's your glamorous
sister. She's making
assistant.
Waves, mate. Absolute tsunamis.
She should have her own social media profile.
Don't. She'll probably get more fucking followers than me. She's making waves, I'm telling you. Like, she's so funny, like, doing all this... the videos and that, she just loves it. She's right centre of attention, mate. I don't know where I'll get it from. But it is what it is. Yeah, she, yeah, bless her. Yeah, I love her to bits, mate. Yeah. Really funny she is.
No, she's great.
People
she's
bounce
good
off her as well. She's fat as fuck. So, no, I'm joking, she's not. She's one of them people who should just light up a room. She talks to everyone. I think that's why I'm like myself.
It.
Yeah, because yeah. you know, she's the most kind-hearted person I've ever met in my life. I'm not just saying that because she's my mum.
Yeah.
But she is. She is the most kindest person I've ever met. And everyone who's ever come into my life, when they meet my mum, they say the same thing. And, yeah. And I think that's such a rare trait to have. And yeah, it's a very, very special person.
Quality.
Yeah.
I don't know, why are we talking about your mum all the time?
You fucking brung it up, mate. You got a thing for her. I mean, do you want me to put a word in?
If you wouldn't mind.
I mean, if the relationship you're in, mate, ain't going well...
Anyway, let's cut that bit out. But we're
no, let's keep that in.
All right, I'll keep that in then.
That's what she said.
So you've been busy, man. I just saw a little Instagram post of you with an old mate of yours. His name Paul something.
Paul.
Weller.
Paul Pesky Salido. Oh, no, yeah. It's all. Do you know what? It's always good to catch up with Paul. He is like, he's family to me, mate, and he's such an amazing person to be around, you know. Yeah. The confidence and the motivation I get off him just watching him in the studio, it's phenomenal to even be in the studio with him,
so
making
they,
him cups of tea and that.
Well,
yeah, man, I don't normally make a cup of tea, right? And Paul has the tea, no sugar.
Okay.
And Goody Crofts is tea with almond milk. That's it. I said, look, don't start snookering me, mate. I'm going to fuck everything up now. And Ben Godilia is coffee. And who else was there yesterday? Craddock went there. Pilgrim turned up later. Steve Pilgrim. And the other lads, they're just normal tea. See, me, I'm tea, two sugars.
Take two sugars in your tea?
Yeah, mate. What's wrong with that? Just got to have a fucking, you know, bit of a sugar rush, ain't I? But... Yeah, no, I was, but he was like, yeah, I like it really strong, and I was like, no pressure. No, I made him one before, but I made it, I nailed it, and I like, just as I was walking back into the kitchen, I watched him drinking, he went, oh yeah, good brew that is, lad, yeah, well done, son, and I was like, fucking get in there, I can retire a happy person, knowing I've made a fucking 10
You've
out of 10.
You've made the perfect
I
cup
said,
of tea.
I said, mate, I might quit magic and start working in Costa.
But only for guitar mod legends.
Yeah, I'll probably open my own coffee shop. That's... Tim Burgess done something like that.
Has he? Has he got his own coffee?
He's got his own coffee thing, or his coffee brand. Yeah, I'm sure he has. I'm sure he's brought out his own coffee.
All right, fair enough.
It's a good idea, to be fair. I might do it.
The magic...
Moffy?
No, I don't know.
I've been watching too much porn, haven't I?
Anyway, and I think since we last spoke, because it's been probably almost a year and a half since we spoke.
No, longer than that, innit? I was trying to avoid you.
I think you've... I think the tour with the Libertines...
Was that before or after?
I'm not sure. Was it before? All right.
And then I did Reverend and the Makers was good as well. I broke my ribs, actually, off Nottingham Rock City. We were talking about crowd surfing and that, and John was like, oh, mate, I always used to crowd surf at, you know, when Oasis were playing. He's a big Oasis fan, and he was always like, Liam always used to point out to us in the crowd and like put the big thumbs up, Big John. I thought, fuck it, mate, I'm going to have a bit of this. And we played Liverpool the night after, and we were at Rock City, and the person I was with, I said to her, look, I'm going to fucking... don't do it. I went, oh, I've got to do it. I don't know, should I? And then, fairness, she didn't want me to do it for my own safety, bless her, and I just went against all that, and when he did Heavyweight Champion of the World, I took everything out of my pockets, make sure I took my £50 notes out and all that, because I wouldn't see them again. And... just jumped in there like a salmon, mate, literally like a fucking tin of John West.
Yeah.
they caught me, and then all of a sudden someone probably didn't fancy it and just dropped me, and
I went
straight on the back. And I went up, like, when you're up, I went, fucked, mate, absolutely fucked. Sound like Pat Butcher. And I broke my ribs, mate, and I was on the stage the next night so drugged up with everything. Like,
seriously, you actually broke ribs?
Yeah.
From being dropped?
Two ribs. I did. I had more morphine. I went up there. What did I have? I had paracetamol, ibuprofen. I had so many prescription drugs, if you know what I mean. When I say prescription, I went into Boots the next day and said, "What's good for broken ribs? How'd it happen? Don't worry about that." And we're popping pills, and this bloke was like, "You always get one heckler." This bloke was like, "Why are you shaking?" I went, "Fuck off, mate. If you've had as many drugs as I've had, mate, you'd be shaking as well." I said, "I've popped more pills than Jimmy and Quadrophenia." I was, honestly, before the thing, I was saying, "John, I can't do it." He went, "You all right, lad?" I went, "I'm fucked, mate. I'm absolutely fucked. I couldn't even have a drink." Honestly, I was so... I just couldn't. I was so fucking bad, mate. Put a seatbelt on. I had to get the person I was with to drive home, all the way home. I just couldn't drive, mate. Couldn't do it. Bless her. No, it's done well there.
But a good tour, other than the broken ribs.
Yeah, good,
where did
yeah.
you play? Did you do
Rock City and Liverpool too? Okay. I was going to play Leeds as well. Leeds would have been good, but I had my own little private little shindig going.
Private
on.
Little thing.
Yeah,
going
man.
On.
But yeah, it was good. Yeah. O2 Academy, Leeds, Liverpool was brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant venues. Rock City is brilliant. As
I
well.
Love Rock. I was at uni in Leicester, and so I went to Rock City quite a bit. That was I saw Super Furries there. I saw Primal Scream there.
Primal Scream. Yeah, there's a big. I did a tour. Going through the dressing room, I took pictures. I was like talking about everyone. I think fucking Busted played there, so you know there's highs and lows in there.
Yeah.
But no, I enjoyed it. Ping pong table as well. Had a little go on that. Undefeated, mate. Only played once, but that did.
Still counts. But yeah, I mean, I tell you what. The thing about Rev and the Makers is that they had their moment. They had Heavyweight Champion was a big hit single. But other than that, in terms of the public consciousness, they're not that big.
I think they're brilliant.
But
do you know
they
that?
Are massive. Like, in terms of the following they get, it's
insane.
Get
them on the festival, mate. Get them on a festival going, mate. And I'll tell you what, they are as good as anyone, mate. Like, some of the the performances I've seen, because I did the Libs invited me to the Sharabang Festival in Margate. And I was doing, on the ground comparing, and we had a film crew following me, and I was just doing, a... sort of like a live vlog sort of thing.
Okay.
Fucking brilliant, mate. Just realised I swore quite a lot, and I was trying not to swear because I want my mum to listen to this. Do you know what I mean? It's probably there. She's always like, "Why do you always swear?" I'm like, "I don't think I'm that bad." I am, innit? But the thing is, I don't mean to. I blame my dad. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But, yeah. Sharabang and Rev done a set, and it was unbelievable. Blew, yeah. Honestly, mate, I was on the side of the stage, and he said, "This one's for you." Well, that's cute, isn't it?
That's nice.
You know what I mean? I thought, "Do you want me to come?" I was like, he said, "That's for me. This is for you." And I thought, right, I'll have a little walk on. And then he turned his back and was like, "All right, come back." But I would have liked going up there and just jumped in.
You won't get the crowd surf again after breaking the ribs.
No, this was before.
This
was before,
right,
mate. So I never experienced the rib breaking, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
Funny story though. I was at Watford away the other day. I went to go and watch Fulham, and we had all these Fulham fans were jumping off the side of these fixed tables on the wall, and they stood on there with the relegation flag, and they were like crowd surfing. People go, "Jump!" And I thought, I'm having some of this. But as soon as I climbed up there, everyone looked the other way, and I'm like, what is it with me and crowd surfing? But as I jumped up, I booted this kid in the side of the head, and honestly, I did not mean to, and I just looked at him. I thought, say something funny. I was like, well, it's a man's game, isn't it, mate? You know what I mean? I felt like David Brent when he nuts that went, well, it's a man's game, isn't it? But I felt bad about that. If he's listening, I doubt he is, though, but you never know. If he is listening, DVD's in the post.
Fair enough. But yeah, so it's been a couple of years now since your DVD's come out, hasn't it? That's crazy. What's the plan? Are you going to do another one, or are you going to...
Do you know what? No.
No?
No, yeah. Ali McKenzie, God bless him, he's like family to me, and he worked so hard with this documentary, and he's really doing well. Really doing well, mate. Really well. He's brought out some really good documentaries, but they're based more around sport now.
Okay.
With his football club... And he does a lot of boxing documentaries,
okay.
And he is fantastic. It's so good that I put him on the on the map. Do you know what I mean? It's just
you gave him the first big break.
Yeah. No, it was a dream come true, really. But look at the people we had in it. We had Martin Freeman was in it. Paul Weller kindly said he would. Andy Croft's done this footage, and we used the footage in the DVD. Vicky McClaw, Johnny Owen, my mate Rufus Brevitt.
Vicky McClure is even more massive. That Line of Duty, everyone's into that.
I've not watched it, mate.
No, I've never watched it, but because I love it from this.
Oh, Chris Ramsey as well. He was a QPR manager.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, mate. It was just on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
I've not seen it, mate. But she's a fantastic
person.
She's
so cool.
Yeah,
her and Johnny Owen. I used to follow Johnny Owen years ago. So he did the Modcast with Eddie Pillar.
That's it.
I really enjoyed that. And then so they just seemed like the coolest couple in the world.
Yeah, they are, mate. They were lovely, and we really bounced off each other. We had a great good night that time doing the filming and all that.
Mm.
Lovely
mm.
people. Mm. They had so much time for me, and I had the same for them, and dream come true. But I would like to, because I think so much has happened since then, mate. Right?
Yeah.
I look back on what I've done, and I think, Jesus Christ, how has that happened? Do you know what I mean?
Honestly, mate.
Like, I'm so proud and humble.
Yeah,
that I know people who I've dreamt of knowing on a friend's basis.
Yeah,
you know, I had a chat with Pete Doherty the other day on the phone. We had a right good chat, and after I put the phone down, I thought that actually happened.
I was just chatting to Pete Doherty
on a night out. Went out for a meal.
You didn't do the big breakfast challenge with Pete Doherty, did you?
No, I don't think I could, mate.
No,
mind you, I do like a breakfast. I plat up, mate. I had a nap. Should have seen this full English I had the other day. Absolutely demolished it, mate. Seriously.
There's only one thing, man. Dolby's Cafe Breakfast Extraordinaire! I think he had his dog under the table. Just saying.
Man, there's no way around it. There's no way around it. We keep a fucking tight watch on you, mate.
No way around the truth, is that? No. Right, Jiggers, will you please?
No, just say exactly what's on your mind, man.
I'm not sure, but I know. I've seen you eat double that breakfast.
Just that picture.
Proud of that.
That's the funniest picture. Have you seen that picture?
Yeah, bless him. He's like a brother, though, honestly. Like,
is he? Good
like, all the libs are because of what they did for me. And I tell them that all the time. I was with Carl on New Year's Eve. He played at the Underworld, Camden.
Okay.
With Rat Boy. So I went there and we had a right good laugh, and it was brilliant just to be around him. And we bounce off each other all the time, mate, honestly. Mm. And it's so, we are a family, you know. They said to me, you know, you're part of the libs now. And
have you got a tattoo?
Well, okay, so he, all right, calm down.
Don't you have
let
to
get
have,
on with
have
it.
Go on,
all right,
go on.
So,
eat your melon.
Sorry, I've done it now. Carl wrote on my arm, right, Libertine. On New Year's Eve, and on New Year's Day, I was going to go to the tattoo shop, and I fucking bottled it, mate. I thought, I can't do it. And I promised him, I said, can't get it done tomorrow. He went, oh, good man. Give me a big hug and a kiss. I got there, and I thought, I can't do it.
Why?
But I've got the picture. Show you, I've got the picture for the viewers at home. But honestly, he's helped me out so much. I remember I did a gig for, I think this is in the other podcast, when a you asked how it happened, how I got involved with the Libs, and I was doing a gig for Virgin Radio. They were rebranding or something like that, and I had a call from Carl. I thought, bloody hell, what's he want? And then he just said, do you want to come on tour? And I said, I'll call you back. And when I called him back, Pete answered, and he went, yeah, we want you on tour. And I was like, that's brilliant. Like,
that's quality,
signing my arm, and then that was it in the morning.
But then you didn't get
6
it,
o'clock in the morning when I got back to the hotel.
Nah, I don't fancy
it. Mate, I am going to get it done. I promised them that.
You should do.
I was going to get it done. When we were on tour, one of the blokes said, there's a tattoo artist who comes into the dressing room, and he always does Pete's and Carl's and a lot of the crew's tattoos. He said, we'll get him in your dressing room after your set. I tell you what, it was at the... I think it was at Margate. And as soon as I did my set, I fucked off. Mate. I went straight into the. I got myself a kebab. And I was out of the way. I couldn't do it. And then when we did the Sharabang, they were giving out free Libertines tattoos. And do you know what, mate? People were there and they queued up all day to get a tattoo. And they missed everything. People went in the queue for 8 hours. 8 hours to get a tattoo.
And they missed all the whole show.
Yeah, and I was thinking, what is wrong with people? I mean, to be fair, 30 quid for a Libertines tattoo and you can still hear the music in the background. Yeah, all
not
right.
Too bad.
You know, everyone loves a fucking freebie. But honestly, some bloke was like, yeah, I've been standing here like 4 hours. I was interviewing him. I said, look, don't be a tight fucker, mate. Go and pay for one and then enjoy the music.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Ain't got to queue up then. But Libertines fans are very hardcore, mate. Yeah. Very hardcore.
Yeah. Even more so than Oasis fans. Because Oasis, like everyone, there's like a big chunk of the population that really, really like Oasis.
Yeah.
And then you've got like the, say, you know, hardcore of like 100,000 people or whatever that are obsessed with Oasis.
Keep going.
And the magic mod has just walked away to go and get some tissue. And he's coming back. And there we go. So, whereas the Libertines,
that's going to sound fucking dodgy on there.
It's going to sound great. I saw Pete Doherty on the New Year's Eve show, and it was like one of these where he'd been asked to come along acoustic. And he turned up like super late.
Yeah.
And then when he finally turned up, like he was sort of a bit distracted on stage, and he was kind of did a few tracks, but he'd start and then he'd stop. But everyone loved him so much. Just when you see an artist, you just feel the love for someone.
He's brilliant, mate.
Oh, but then leaving the venue, he was then getting into a car that was waiting for him.
Yeah.
And the car was being mobbed. Like people jumping
like
on top
it's
the of
the Beatles,
car.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It really was. I've never seen anything like it.
Michael Jackson all over. Oh no, I can't say that.
Let's not talk about him.
No. Janet Jackson. no, it is, mate. Like, when we did Plymouth, I had a nice pretty green trench coat. R.I.P. pretty green. But beautiful. I only had it about 3 weeks, mate. Beautiful. Paisley pattern under the collar, inside all paisley. Oh, Ben, I like that, mate. That was fucking shit, that accent. I'm trying to think.
That was supposed to be Pete Doherty.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I went, it's nice, isn't it? He went, can we swap jackets? I went, what have you got, mate? And he took me in one of his original military jackets.
No.
Yeah, swapped it. And I said, I'm not going to wear it, Pete. I want you to sign it. And I got him, Gary, Carl and John all to sign it. And I've got it in a special like case at home. And
the
I only get it out special occasions.
Mate,
like
say
I want to impress someone, I'm like, do you like the Libertines, yeah? Oh, there, girl. Bang, get that out. Go get on that. You touch it if you want. And the jacket.
To me, no, well, he didn't like that much, I can tell you. He says, sunshine, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. And he chased me up 3 flights of stairs, got you to lift us up and said hello. Cause you're impossible, and it's just like he's in another world. He doesn't see the danger on show. They'll wind up like Joseph, bloody
I only show, you know, I'm like I said, I go on about it because I'm so proud of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I've never been
special.
So proud. It took me a long time to be proud of something I was doing, mate. And now I can talk about this and I love to share the stories. You know, there's no point in having these stories and keeping them to yourself, is it?
Exactly. Yeah.
But
exactly.
That was in Plymouth.
Oh,
his jacket. I don't know what that
is. That stain.
Blood
or there's
something
a big like. There's a big stain on it. Okay. It
might be blood, but yeah, that was brilliant, mate. But I got the whole lot to. Everyone, a great photo here. I mean, look at that.
Oh, Jesus.
That was the last night in Brighton.
That is crazy.
And there was a great after party. There was an after party in Prism, I think that's what it's called.
In Prison?
No, not Prison.
Okay.
Prism. I think it's like...
Because he has been to Prison.
I think I was probably going there after, in fairness, some of the stuff I did, but I'm joking. edit that out. But no, Carl was doing the DJ set and I was there, and we had like my family and friends and everyone in it. It was brilliant, mate. It was fantastic. It was so emotional after, like on the way I was like, oh, pull over. And I remember just getting out the car going, I can't believe it's over. Because the buzz was brilliant, mate. Yeah. Honestly, there's nothing like that. Walking out in front of Brighton's like 4,500 people, whole arena for Warrington Park Hall, just over 1,000 or something.
The thing is, when you're doing those shows in front of like 4,000 people, right?
Yeah.
If you're trying to change your set, like if you're doing between, you know, a couple of hundred people, or if you're doing close-up magic in like a much more one-to-one setting, and then you're doing that like in front of 4,000 people, I mean, how do you do that?
Well, we were going to have a big screen in the background, but some places didn't accommodate for the big screen, so basically what I had to do was just bigger illusions and hope that the people in the cheap seats can sort of guess what's going on.
Okay.
Winter Gardens Margate was a good venue. And that's probably the only place someone threw a beer at me. And I still don't know why. Honestly, I honestly don't know why. But, yeah. Shit.
But were you worried? Do you think, oh, how's this going to go down? How am I going to keep...
No. Anxiety, yeah, kicks in. But I'm so confident in my own ability that I knew I would overcome it. And they helped me out big time. They helped me get into a very good positive frame of mind. And it worked well. And like I said to you earlier, I had a bar... I was meditating before and relaxing an hour before, making sure I was in a good frame of mind. Mm. And it worked so well, mate. Yeah.
Do you feel like a boxer, like getting ready, like you've got to psych yourself up and get
mate,
out there?
If you saw me on a Friday night, mate, I am a fucking boxer outside the curry house, mate, I tell you.
See, but the
especially
thing is...
when I'm trying to get to the front of the queue. In a way, yeah, I see where you're going. Yeah, it is. It's different to other people, musicians and that. For me, I just like being left alone, don't let anyone in the dressing room. And that's why it was a bit hard on the Brighton one, because I had everyone with me, my mum, the family and friends and whatnot, and I just wanted to be left alone. It was so hard finding myself pacing up and down.
Yeah.
And sometimes I go outside and mingling with the crowd, but I just sit in, I sit right at the back with a towel over my head and just have headphones in and listen to like a bit of opera or classical music, but Hans Zimmer. Yeah, man. Just get into the frame of mind. And just relax, and then I'm all right, and then I just casually walk back. But people say to me, you've got to get ready, you're on in a minute. I went, no, it's all right, because I don't like rushing. I like doing it at a pace where I put my clothes on and all that. Not that I was naked, but put my outfit
with the
on.
Put a towel on
that.
Your head. Just make... Lovely and, image.
Pot of Pringles, like, hiding me, my feet. But, yeah, I just like getting it into a routine where I put my outfit on and just walk and then go straight on. Not walk, stay there for 5 minutes, then go on. I like, bang, that's it.
Just get in there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be... So going back to the Friday 17th.
Oh, yeah,
at the Waterhouse.
You really want to sell these tickets, don't you?
We're doing all right, mate. They're
I'm joking.
We're sold out already. That's the thing. Well,
fucking will do.
Almost. Well, with you on there, we might sell another three. But you
no, they'll be asking for a refund.
But that's the thing. So, but I haven't. The last time I was on stage was in
you're
a band.
On stage.
I was in that band. I told you about. I was in a band. I was in a band in like. I know I look like a seasoned
librarian.
Librarian now, but. I was pretty rock and roll, mate. But no, I was in a band from 1996 to 2000. And yeah, and so we never really did anything. So we formed the band. Basically, I came back from Nebworth. So I was 16 in 96. Came back from Nebworth.
Trying to work out your age.
It's not that hard, mate.
I'm a magician, mate. Come on.
I was born 1980.
Fucking Carol Vorderman.
Yeah, I was born 1980. So I come back from Nebworth in summer 96. I'm 16 years old. Going into sixth form in the September.
Yeah.
And I phoned my mate Joel, who's been in the podcast and done a few bits. He's going to be there on the 17th. And I said, Joel, we should combine our musical talents. And he said, what fucking musical talent have you got? Because I had no musical
play
talent.
The spoons.
Exactly, but I had attitude. Is what I had attitude and a good haircut, and that can get you 90%
of the
way.
What went wrong?
20 years, mate. 25
getting
years.
Married.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. having three kids. But no, so we started the band in 96, and so we, the last show we played was in London at the Rock Garden, Covent Garden, in the year 2000. And that was the last show I played. And the band here in the Water Rats, actually, I was talking to Joel earlier, and a bunch of them, they did carry on after I left.
Yeah.
It was a pale imitation of what we were, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, well, they actually tried, almost made it. But yeah,
oh, really?
Once they got rid of a shit vocalist. But,
oh,
but,
sucks to be him.
Yeah, exactly. But but yeah, they actually played here, and I did come and see them here afterwards. But
yeah.
I never played here, and yeah, and it's so cool to be back here and thinking, like, yeah. So my question to you is, Ben, I'm going to be getting on stage for the first time in 19 years. What tips have you got for me as a seasoned performer?
Bottle of Jack Daniels and no. Honest truth, mate, just relax and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. I enjoy it. I love to perform, mate. Whether it be fucking on a stage in some girl's bedroom. Oh shit! Oh my god! Edit that out. I can't believe I said that. No, seriously. No, I love to perform, mate. Honestly, I love what I do, and I'm so grateful that people love what I do as well.
Mm.
And I'm a people's person. I've got time for everyone. Whether it be someone who just likes a tweet or says that they love what I do, I always try to reply to everyone because I'm so grateful.
Mm.
But my advice to you would be just relax, mate. Don't overthink things. As soon as you overthink things, you're going to be thinking about more negativity than positivity.
Mm.
Think about why you're doing it. You're doing it to a great night for, you know, Oasis fans. You know, people love your podcast. And just go out there and have fun, mate. Have a joke, you know. Make sure you look smart, you know. Not like a librarian. Make sure you dress smart, mate. Get you in a park or in a bit of paisley, you'll be all right. Just enjoy it, mate. That's the best thing. Don't overcomplicate things. So have a put in a few one-liners and all that, but don't overcomplicate it. Do you know what I mean? Just relax.
Mm.
I never go by script. When I'm out there, I wing everything I do. Always winged everything I do.
Yeah.
I never stick to what tricks I'm going to do. It changes every single night because I don't like having a script. I go out there, I feel the mood of the crowd. I go, right, I'm having some of this. And I make them love me, well, hopefully, by the end of it. That's not an arrogant thing. I just hopefully they enjoy what I do. But just enjoy it, mate.
Yeah.
And I think that's my advice to you.
Quality.
But make sure you got a nice pair of kicks on as well. Like are you playing guitar?
No.
Fuck for that.
Oh, you've heard me then, clearly. No, we're actually, it's going to be cool. What we're going to be doing is Joel, who, you know, is going to be, it's Joel and my old drummer, and we're going to do...
Are you singing?
I'm singing.
Get on this.
I'm singing. And it's going to be mainly, Joel's going to be playing piano.
Really?
And he's a quality, like, piano player. So he's worked out some
makes
awesome...
Makes up for the rest then, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. He's worked out some great arrangements and of some definitely maybe songs, definitely maybe era songs, but with piano. And so it's going to be quality. And it's basically, I'm not worried about it because I'm not going there like, there's a crowd, I have to entertain them, like, this is a show. For me, this is a sing-along. And I'm leading the sing-along.
It's not fucking karaoke, mate.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I've done a bit of karaoke in the time.
Yeah. Well, I asked you, I'm going to ask you now, on record, are you going to sing on the night?
Depends.
Because we've got a couple of people, Ryan Harvey, who's done some song breakdowns for us. He's a brilliant guitar player.
I got a good version of me doing Live Forever on here.
All right.
I caught it. I didn't. I thought I squatted the fly like Jackie Chan or whatever his name is.
Mr. Miyagi.
That's the one.
Close enough.
I had a really good video. Well, fuck it, it don't matter. But yeah, I looked the part. I looked the bollocks and everything. No, fuck it, I want to find it. I did Live Forever and Down in the Tube Station at midnight on Christmas Eve with my mate Mike Dobie.
I remember seeing that.
Brilliant ears, mate. Really good, really good look, strong look. Most hardworking person I know, mate. In all fairness, and I'm not just saying that. He's so hardworking.
Yeah,
it's brilliant what he does. Mm. You listen to these vocals, mate. Why are you laughing?
I'll edit. I'm just saying this is an audio podcast. I'll edit in it afterwards.
Wait. Let's get to the bit. You listen. I hold this note like nobody's business. That's not me for the record.
mustard, didn't I? Yeah, all right, I'll give you that.
I'm glad, mate. I mean, I'll give it to myself, brother. Forever. Do you know what I mean? Brother, sounded like Ed Dubstep, didn't I?
There you go, that's good.
I love it, mate. Yeah,
that's
I might good. Do a bit of that. I might do a... Does it have to be Oasis?
That's kind of the point.
Oh, right.
So it's not the fucking Keane podcast, is it?
Kaiser Chiefs. Fuck me, them cunts are everywhere, aren't they? So I can't do Down in the Tube Station.
Well, unless you want to have a word with someone and we can figure it out. But the Down the Tube Station is like at 4 million words. That's a lot of words to cram in.
And the last thing that I saw is I lay there on the floor. Jesus says, painted by an atheist nutter and a British rail poster read, having a way day, a cheap holiday. I do it today. I glance back at my life. I think about my wife and under the keys. Her cheer think it's me. I'm down in the tube station at midnight. Sorry, mate. Oh, you want us out?
Okay, wait, hold on. You've just performed in a performance venue. I think I owe you money now.
Oh shit. Do you reckon I'll get my picture on the wall? I've just performed. That's going to go viral, that is, mate.
Probably.
That is going to go viral like a clap. Yeah.
Cool, all right. Well, I don't think there's anywhere we can go from there, is there? Fucking hell. Oh. Right. So, got anything else you want to say?
Yeah. You've asked me, how are you feeling about this night, then?
How am I feeling about the night?
No, 17th of May.
Yeah, 17th of May.
Water rats.
6:30. Yeah.
Doors.
Tickets available at eventbrite.com.
How much percentage are you getting out of it?
No, I'm joking. I'm going to get about minus 300 quid, but anyway,
that's all right.
Tony McCarroll's expensive. But anyway, so...
Is he more expensive than me?
Considerably. But, so it's going to be... I'm really looking forward to it, because...
Sum it up with one word.
Squeaky bum time. Is that one word?
That's not one word, is it? It could have been, like...
Supersonic.
Or biblical. Like.
Biblical.
No, yeah. Go on. I interrupted you there, sorry.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed about that. But yeah, so we... You're not getting your hat-trick ball for the podcast.
It's my second one, isn't it?
It's your second one, yeah.
Shit.
So, I'm feeling all right about it. I think, for me, at the moment, it's just the logistics of, okay, so we've got you're going to do a bit, we've got our kid, he's going to do a bit, the other special guest, we've got people that are going to come on and do a couple of songs each, we've got Tony, we've got me doing my bit, we've got DJs, so... It's like, how much do I need to organise this before? Or do we just go, do you want to jump on the DJ bit for a bit, Ben? You know what I mean? Or do we just wing it on the night? So, bit of a mixture.
It is just Oasis songs all night.
Pretty much, yeah. That's the plan. Yeah, that's the plan. Because it's a
official... Master plan?
That's not bad, is it?
It's not bad, that, is it? I'm all right.
Yeah.
You're thinking it. Yeah, I can hear the cogs moving, mate.
Yeah. So it's good. It's going to be a good show.
Good.
And and hopefully it goes really well. I see. It's already gone well because we're already pretty much sold out. So
they're like looking at it. Do you know what I mean? It looks so. They'd be fucking manic.
200 in here. It's going to be busy. It's going to be busy.
Close as well to everything.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah. It's not like it's not like when you've got like a few people at the front, mainly people congregating around the bar. This is 200 in here.
I have to get them to knock them doors through
busy.
And have the old bar.
Yeah, I was going to have a word with them about that, actually. Yeah, so...
I'm knocking through.
But yeah, we'll do a merch table as well, so you can flog a few DVDs. How's that sound?
Yeah, I could do, mate. Could do. I mean, if people want, like, coffee mugs and all that, they make great coffee mugs. Or coffee coasters.
Coasters, mugs.
Yeah, it's a bit stupid there.
No,
it's all right. T-shirts as well. Oh, I've got one of my T-shirts as well in my bag.
Have you?
Yeah. Good. Got to be done, mate.
Yeah,
it'd be a good laugh. You got any merch?
Well, I was going to knock up some T-shirts as well.
Oasis podcast.
Like, well, the Oasis podcast little logo.
Good basic.
And then, like the Oasis box, you know, like normally Oasis logo box, but with a few things like "Stay Young," "Lost the Plot," like a few things related to Oasis. I think that'd be good.
Bit beige, innit?
All right, mate.
I like you. I mean, what the fuck was that?
Breaking some stuff from whoever's playing later, but
mate, that fucking shit me up.
That's some voodoo stuff.
The ghost of King's Cross is here.
I'm praying it out.
It's all right, mate. You're okay. You're
I feel like I'm at Finsbury again. No.
Oh, yeah, I was supposed to meet you. Where were you? I missed you. What was that all about? So come on, babe, come on down. We'll meet you. And then I think phone reception was crap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was definitely it, mate.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All I'm going to say is I saw this bloke and he was like, Ben, are you all right? I was just sweating buckets, mate. Seriously. I was sweating so much and I just had to keep on pouring bottles of water over my head. And he was like, oh, let's have a photo with you. I was thinking, you're taking the fucking piss, mate. I was like, mate, I look like Tom Daly. Well, obviously I'm not, because you know what I mean. But I, yeah.
It was a good, let's just say it was.
Yeah, it was good, mate. I can't remember how it started. I remember the DMAs.
Yeah, well, that was pretty
Ashcroft.
Early on. Ashcroft was awesome.
No, but that was a fucking joke, to be fair. I said to everyone, let's not go in early. I said, look, I've got DMAs, I've got the album on my phone. Let's congregate, get a crate in. Bang. Because as soon as you're in there, you can't go back out. And the queue...
Oh, mate.
I went, do you know what, right? I bought eight beers. Big man alert. And this bloke, when I pulled out, he said, I'll give you a tenner for a beer because I don't want to queue up. I went, mate, help yourself. Anyone else want one? I think I sold about two beers for 20 quid. I think eight beers was six, I can't remember. It was something stupid, wasn't it? I think 5.50 a pint.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was selling them for a tenner. I was knocking them out. I felt like Del Boy. Honestly, mate.
Stick a money in me pocket. I'll fetch the suitcase from the bank. Cause if you want lessons, but you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man. Cause where it all comes from is a mystery. It's like the changing of the seasons and the tides of the sea. But here's the one that's driving me berserk. Why do only fools and horses work? La 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 la.
I could have pissed in empty cups.
People would have bought it.
Just, I wouldn't do that anyway. I'm not dishonest.
That was brutal.
No, I think it was an absolute fucking joke, mate.
It was the worst. That. I mean, it's sort of now I had kind of forgotten about that. You know, to be fair, and I was sort of like, okay, you know, I'm just remembering how great it was Liam coming on and everything. But
I went to
was the main thing at the time. It was so shit.
But I went to the cricket ground, which was much after. Wasn't
oh,
it?
The LCCC.
Yeah, to see him. The fucking queue weren't bad at all, mate. No. I honestly pulled up there, bottle of wine, four beers. That was it, mate. Yeah, weren't bad after. Then I think I went to Clint Boom's Big Boy George, isn't he? I went to Clint Boom's after party at the I can't remember where it was, to be fair, but that was brilliant, mate. I remember standing on the stage, like there was these little stages, and I thought, fuck me, like I just felt like I was the man. I thought, everyone's here for me. That was good, mate. It was good. It was a brilliant night out.
Yeah,
I did a thing with the Manchester X... Shit, what's the radio station?
XS Manchester.
Yeah, I think that's it. They wanted to do something with me. So we did a little video and a bit of a plug with me and Clint that I was doing a few tricks and that. And then went back to the hotel room. I had a bottle of champagne there and I thought, well, be rude not to, wouldn't it? And then I had a nice bath there as well, to be fair. I felt like Scarface because I had so much bubble bath in this bath. I was just standing there, glass of champagne,
mountain of coke.
Glass of champagne,
Michelle Pfeiffer in 1983.
No, I think I had Desperados as well, and I was just like, who do I need? I don't need anybody. But that was fucking bad. What was that? Jamaican?
Say hello to my little friend.
Was he French?
Yeah, yeah. That's not. Wasn't good. Yeah.
Stick to the podcast.
All right? Yeah, right.
That's all right. All the music. But I'll let you know after the
17th. Yeah, podcast. Yeah, yeah.
No, but no. Manchester was brilliant. Brilliant place. Twisted Wheel were good.
Yeah.
Johnny Brown, lovely bloke.
He's a
good
friend
with him. Yeah, really good lad. I had a lovely chat with him the other day. Just, you know, I'm looking forward to his tour. Hopefully do something, get involved with them as well.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We're all in talks. Just hopefully if it could work. Music and magic, mate. Because I'm different. I'm not like, you know that. I'm not like we said earlier on at the bar, I'm not like your typical magician pulling out doves out of a hat and shit like that. Mm. I'll rock on with a beer and a cigarette and make it disappear in a different fashion.
You tweet, Mike, cut this out. You text me and said, yeah. Cigarettes and alcohol trick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought of a good one. I'm not going to give it away, am I?
All right, so that's something
Jesus
you can do on the night.
Christ.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So there's the exclusive. You've got a cigarettes and alcohol-based trick that's going to be quality.
And a Colombia one.
Colombia? Are you going to magic me to Bogota?
Oh, my God, where is this going? Sorry, Mum. No, it'd be good. I'm looking forward to it, to be fair. I am. Good cool. venue. And good. Shit like that.
Quality. All right, well, let's leave it there. Magic Mod, Ben Taylor.
Nice one.
Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you on the 17th of May.
If you can tap up me grand, yeah.
All right, thank you very much to Ben. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Always a pleasure to catch up with the Magic Mod. He's a good chap, and we had a nice few beers in London. That was good fun. Just to say, I'm recording this a little bit later than when I recorded the news a few days ago, and I thought we had some bigger news, which was Noel Gallagher just tweeted out a picture yesterday of some words, which is, "Nature is dancing, but we ain't done yet," with nothing else attached to it. Don't know what that means. And then just today, this is the 30th of April, Noel has tweeted a picture, where it's like a video that's 8 seconds long, of like a weird picture of a tiger's face, but it's kind of split into three, with stars for eyes, and I don't quite understand what that's all about. But anyway, that has... That's been released as well. Now, we're assuming this means that on the back of it, there's going to be some new music, potentially. But, yeah, nothing as at time of recording. And just to say, literally, right now, Louise at StopCrowningYourHeartOut.com has just confirmed that played tonight by Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds during the sound check in Rome was Fort Knox, It's a Beautiful World, Wonderwall, Stop Crying Your Heart Out, and All You Need Is Love. So that's an interesting one. Stop Crying Your Heart Out, back into the set by the sounds of it. That is not one that Noel has done solo before. So, yeah, very interesting. Checking on Setlist FM, Oasis obviously played it 97 times. The most recent time it's been played by a.k.a. Noel Gallagher, who we heard from... in the recent episode. Anyway, bit of breaking news there, and watch this space. We will, next episode, hopefully we might just have some new music from Noel, maybe from Liam, we'll see. But anyway, so we're going to move on now to The Boy with the Blues for the Oasis A to Z section. So Boy with the Blues is by Oasis. It was written by Liam Gallagher. It was considered for Don't Believe the Truth, but didn't make the cut. Noel said in 2005 that the song was going to be on an EP in the summer of 2006. He said, "I think we're going to put it out as a single. That's not going to be on the next album." But they never ended up recording that EP, and it didn't happen. Yeah, Noel described it in December 2005 as being driven by piano and acoustic guitars. He mentioned the track has a chant at the end, where the words go, "Come all together, if we come all together, we'll come all together for you." He said, "It's a bit like Spiritualized, you know, when they do that gospel thing. The bulk of the song is only about 3 minutes long, but the outro could go on forever." He said that the track didn't go on Don't Believe the Truth because it has a lack of chorus. He also said the track needed more work doing on it, and they spoke of this planned recording session in January 2006 during a break in the Don't Believe the Truth tour. In different interviews in 2006, Noel and Liam both made conflicting statements as to the future of the track. Liam said, "After the tour, we'll do some recording, then we'll put it out." Noel said, we had a couple of tracks left over from the last record. In our heads, we thought they were good enough to be released as an EP. We went back and listened to the tapes, and we reckon we can get it better, so we're having the year off instead. February 2007, NME says, Noel said, "You can spot a Liam title from 1,000 paces. It could be like a gospel track or something. It could be 8 or 9 minutes long because there's a great refrain in the chorus which could go on well forever." And then the song was finally released with the deluxe version of Oasis' seventh studio album, Dig Out Your Soul. It was also released as a part of the Download EP, Boy With The Blues. And in America, it was released on the NCIS official TV soundtrack, while a brief snippet of the song was heard during the NCIS Season 6 episode, Legend Part 1, which also served as the backdoor pilot for NCIS Los Angeles. And the track listing of the Boy With The Blues EP was Boy With The Blues, I Believe In All, and then the Get Off Your High Horse Lady, the Devendra Banhart remix. So, and thankfully, there's a Wikipedia article for it, so I've just literally read that, which was handy. Right, and before I dig into what I think of the track, we've had an absolutely brilliant breakdown sent in from listener Mike D'Souza. So let's check that out.
Hi, James. It's Mike here. Long-time listener, first-time caller, as they say. I just wanted to give you a quick shout. I listen to the pod all the time. Love it. It's one of my sort of go-to pods when I'm driving around. Great to find so many people who like the same kind of thing as me. One of my favourite parts of the pod is when you get these amazing people coming out and playing and talking about their favourite Oasis songs and often doing like a song breakdown. All of them are incredible musicians, and I don't really want to try and stand up to them. But I do play guitar in a band called the Supersonics. We are an Oasis covers band. We're not a tribute band. We just want to come in and sort of play the songs. It's a little bit of fun. We just like to get together and play. I'm sure we could maybe have a chat about that at some point. There's so many great tribute bands out there at the moment that we just won't do it justice. So we just love playing the songs and, you know, just seeing how it goes from there. But I wanted to do my own kind of breakdown on a song, which is Boy With The Blues, which is probably going to be one of the lowest voted Oasis songs out there. But for some reason, genuinely, it's in my top 20. I absolutely love this song. I don't know why, but it's one of those things with anything, with music, something grabs you and it's just always on one of my playlists for favourite Oasis songs. Probably one of the most listened to tracks out there I've got. And I'm probably one of the only people in the world who has that. So just a little bit what I think about the song. It's from a musical point of view, it's written by Liam, but I guess it's written on a guitar. I think it's probably written with a capo on the fourth fret, which means, so the chords would be E minor, B7, A minor, to C, to G, to C, and then back to the E minor. And you kind of play them twice each, so it'll be... capo, obviously they'll get transposed up. The lead instrument on this song is actually a piano. I don't think that it was written on the piano. I think it was written on the guitar, but I think the fact that it was played like the lead instrument almost is a piano, it means it kind of has a little bit of a Gem, I'd say, as the kind of songwriting partner in this, because I know Gem is a very good piano player. He's played a lot of Oasis songs on that. So I've been trying to layer this up a little bit and do a bit of multi-tracking on it to try and recreate the sound as best as I can and try and listen out to see what sounds are actually playing on this track. So obviously we've got the piano, like I said, is the lead instrument. Everything kind of kicks in at the same time. There is a weird sound at the beginning. I could not put my finger on what that was. So after that weird sound, which I guess is some kind of synth, we have the piano, the drums, an acoustic guitar, a bass guitar, and we have an electric guitar, slightly overdriven, playing chords over the top of that. So I've just kind of recorded all that together, and this is like a few bars of it just to see how that sounds. And you can just see how all of that together sounds, you know, pretty similar to what the original record is. For those guitar nerds out there, I'm playing a Gibson Les Paul in the track here, running through a Vox AC30 on to Logic. I'm playing a Fender Jazz bass because that's all I had here. I think Andy Bell would normally use a Precision. And I'm playing a Gibson Hummingbird acoustic guitar, which I've just DI'd into the desk. So you can hear how the track is just built up essentially around those chords at the beginning of the song. I like the way that the vocal line kind of slowly rises. I'm not going to attempt to sing. I'm not the singer in the band. But the vocal line kind of slowly rises and reaches some kind of crescendo, which is what I really like about this song. So the chords in the chorus are essentially an E minor 7, in which the seventh note, the D, is going to be going down a semitone each time, so it essentially goes from E minor 7 to an E minor 6 to an E minor with a C back to a standard E minor. It's quite a common progression. It's quite similar, I think, in a weird way to Hey Bulldog by the Beatles. I think that You Can Talk to Me part in the middle, it's got a very similar thing. I think it's backwards, actually. I think they go up, whereas Liam and this one's going down with the seventh note. I think Noel used it as well, maybe on Freaky Teeth, that kind of unreleased solo track. It's quite nice because it gives you a lot of sort of tension in the track. There's a really nice work by Andy Bell on the bass here. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Paul McCartney playing any kind of later Beatles track, maybe off Revolver, kind of a little bit like Rain, where he kind of plays bass triad, bass chords, kind of a little bit higher up the neck, but you can still hear that it's a bass guitar. That's a nice sound. It sounds a little bit like this. But also, interestingly, in the chorus, there's a couple of other sounds which are coming in. It sounds like there's some backing vocals in there, but I think it's like a mellotron, which I know that they were kind of using quite a lot in the later period, from Standing on Shoulders onwards. So I've got, again, a mellotron patch on here, and I've set it to choir, which I think it kind of gives you that sound. Unless maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's backing vocals, but doing the R's, but I think it sounds like that. And at the end of each bit, we have another synth sound, which is like a higher note. Again, I used a mellotron and put it on string and flute mode. And I think you get that kind of high-pitched noise at the end of each one, like this. So yeah, let's listen onto the chorus. So in the chorus, we've got the piano, we've got the drums, we've got the bass, we've got the electric guitar still and the acoustic guitar, but we're adding in some two mellotrons for one choir and strings and flute. And then there's like a breakdown bar in between the first chorus and the second verse. I'm not really sure what notes are being played here or what sound it is. It sounds kind of distorted. I wasn't sure if it was like a distorted organ, like a Hammond organ. I actually just carried on using the Mellotron, just gave it a little bit of overdrive to it as well. And it just gives you a little rundown. It kind of follows the same chordal structure as the verse. So the E minor, B7, A minor to C. I think a lot of the notes are wrong. I wouldn't worry about that. I think it just kind of gives you that basic sound. And there's like a little drum fill, which I'm just using like a drum machine on the computer. So I can't quite get it right, but it's kind of little drum fill just before we go into the second verse. Second verse is the same as the first. Nothing new being added into there. But then we go into the second chorus. The second chorus, again, is the same as the first chorus, except it doubles it up. And the second time round it comes in, we're going to add a little bit of kind of lead guitar. More like sort of picked individual notes, like this. That is... That is essentially, I think, what probably Noel would have overdubbed that afterwards, or someone would have overdubbed that afterwards. So yeah, I overdubbed a little bit of that into it. The high synth sounds are still coming in. So I think after the second run through of the second chorus, you find the track starts to really kind of build. And then we kind of go into immediately end part of the song, kind of the refrain, if you would want to call it that. Same chords as the verse, but this time we've got like a different rhythm, more of a staccato kind of like the drums kind of follow that, everything kind of into this new rhythm, and then Liam starts essentially his kind of refrain chant, come together, come together, come together. A little bit extra lead guitar which comes in here. I've always thought that it was Gem who played that. You can kind of tell their styles apart slightly between Gem and Noel. I might be wrong, but I think it is a Gem solo. Goes on for quite a long time, the whole ending of the song with the vocal, with the chant, which I think works really nicely. It kind of builds up and builds up, and then slowly kind of doesn't end that abruptly. It kind of ends again with a weird sort of synth sound, which I wasn't sure what it was. I'm not sure whether the beginning synth sound and the end synth sound are kind of related in some way, but yeah, it definitely, if it was me, I maybe would have faded it out with the vocals, but yeah, I think that's essentially the song and how it breaks down. So like I said, I love this song. It's definitely in my Oasis top 20. I have no idea why. It's just one of the songs that grabs me. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. Thanks for listening, and yeah, hopefully we'll try and do some of these again one day. Yeah, there's loads of songs I'd love to kind of play and break down, and you know what, even if no one really listens to this or no one really cares about the song, I love it, just sort of sitting here recording Oasis tracks by myself. But yeah, I've got my tickets for the 17th, so looking forward to catch up with you then. We'll have a pint and looking forward to having a good night. Cheers.
Cheers, Mike. Brilliant stuff there from Mike. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, to actually break down the track like that, record all the separate instruments. Yeah, I hope that's given you a sort of a bit of an insight into the track itself and how it all came about. Really, really enjoyed that. Right, let's get into what you guys said about the track. Okay, so I did a poll for it and we got 5, 18%, 4 got 32%, 3 got 29% and 2 got 21%. So, yeah, overall then it's just about a 4, which is a little bit better than I thought it would do, actually. I thought it would be maybe just below sort of a 3.5 or something. So, yeah, so not too bad. Terry Appleby said it should have replaced The Nature of Reality. That song needs sealing in concrete and dumping in the ocean. The Boy with the Blues, however, is a glimpse into how good a songwriter Liam can be when he puts his mind to it. It's a shame it was never played live. The official Cowpat, who's at patmolton_11, said such an underrated song. Greedy Soul at Supernova Dragon said 4. Easily one of the best from the Dig Out Your Soul era, and it was from before that. Should have made the album, and one of Liam's best written songs in Oasis. Not quite top draw, but definitely be up there for Oasis Mark II. Mike D'Souza, who we just heard from, said, I really, really like it. Genuinely one of my favourite Oasis songs, and definitely my favourite Liam written song. It's got real groove and soul. Kenny Boy Neil said, absolutely love this tune, love to hear it live. Couldn't understand why BDI never played it, along with a few other Liam and Gem penned songs. Yeah, it would have made sense, I think, for Liam to play a few of his own written songs. And similar with his tours now as a solo. I think we did sort of have that debate over, well, what is he going to play? Is he just going to come out and play his own written songs? But as I say, it turned out he just played a bunch of the Noel written songs because he's always deemed them to be his songs anyway. Because he sang them. Ryan Harvey said, never even heard it that I recall. Just had a listen. Not bad. Not very dynamic. 2 on first listen. Has potential to be a grower, maybe. Mark CTI said, had to listen again to remember it. Like an amalgamation of ideas that could have worked well separately. More interesting at points than most of his songs that made albums. I'll give it a generous 2. Richard Bowes said, I can see why it was only a bonus track. Functional but uninspiring. Dan Best said, how does it go again? Flemo, who's at Flemo1983, said 0, absolute tosh. Jonathan Hudgens says, absolute 10. Well, it's out of 5, mate, but carry on. One of the most underrated songs in the Oasis library and a real hidden treasure. Has a great piano rhythm and is up there with Let's All Make Believe as one of those 2000s B-sides that should have been on an album. Wow, praise indeed. Daniel Cadet said, certainly not one of the strongest B-sides, but a decent chill-out song, but not one you go straight for. We Are DNA said, not really about anything. He learned from one of the best that some of Noel's greatest tracks are not really about much of anything either. Like most of Liam's songs, the lyrics consist of very short sentences and a reference to songs or singing. It's very true. So many of his songs talk about sing, shout, song, singing. He fits in a shine, which is nice, and the guitar work that picks up in the second half of the track is more than pleasant. The outro goes on for a long time with the vague exhortation that we come out together. The point of view of the song shifts a bit. Is it about Liam? You sing, you shout, you turn the world around. Yeah, we come out together for you. Is he the boy with the blues? It doesn't really make sense with the Let Me Love Take You High. Whose love exactly? Still better than most of the tracks on Dig Out Your Soul. It sounds special to me. I give it a 7 out of 10 or a 4 out of 5 here. So I pretty much agree with a lot of what was said there. As a track, it's one that never really grabbed me. I think I remember hearing it from the time when those tracks were released on that sort of digital EP, That and I Believe in All, and along with a lot of those sort of later period Liam written songs. Yeah, I thought it was fine. I think when I first heard it, I probably listened to it 2 or 3 times and then kind of forgot about it. And it's only really since Spotify has come in the last few years and I've built my sort of Oasis playlist that, you know, I have tended to hear it more regularity. And I think it's fine. I don't think it's I think it suffers from a lot of the Liam songs, and that it is quite basic and doesn't really go anywhere. It's got that one bit of melody in the verse. And then it's got the chorus melody, Remember to Shine, Nothing to Lose, Just the Boy with the Blues. Remember to shine. Got that outro bit, come on together. That's it, you know. It's not really good enough, you know. It's the sort of thing that if someone had sent that song to me as like an acoustic demo for their sort of unsigned band, I probably wouldn't be that impressed by it, you know what I mean? So it's tricky, because what you then have is, you know, yeah, the core basics of the songs aren't that exciting, but you have got a really good band playing it in Oasis Mark II, and you've got Liam singing it, the best singer in the world. So that does sort of add a lot to it. And I do quite like the outro, and actually hearing Mike's breakdown of it, it did give me a lot more respect for the tune itself. So it's definitely risen up a little bit in my estimation since hearing that. Let's drop a couple of other bits in here. So one of the interesting things about Dig Out Your Soul, you know, we've talked here about isolated tracks. Dig Out Your Soul album was one of those that did have isolated tracks available to it, and you can get instrumental versions of Boy with the Blues. So let's have a little bit of the instrumental of Boy with the Blues. And also, we've probably talked about it a little bit on here before, but OOPS mixes. Now, OOPS stands for Out of Phase Stereo, which basically, what you effectively do is you manipulate the phase of a stereo audio track to isolate or remove certain components of the stereo mix. What you tend to do is it effectively kind of reverses all the different things. So everything in the track that was quiet becomes loud, and everything in the track that was loud becomes quiet. And if you go onto the Live Forever forum, I'll put a link in here, but there is a link to basically all the different OOPS mixes that people have done. And some of them come out with some really interesting stuff. And this one does as well. So let's have a bit of the instrumental and then a bit of the OOPS mix. Okay, not a huge amount extra to say about this song, to be honest. Lyrically, I would say it's about his kids, and we know that from the interview with Davy Lane. He had it back then at that point. So Lennon and Gene would have been around about, 6 years old and sort of 4 years old around then. So that sort of makes sense. If you think, you sing, you shout, you turn the world around, yeah, we come out together for you. You let me see the man I'm going to be, we come out together for you. Remember to shine, let me let my love take you high. You're nothing to lose, you're just a boy with the blues. I think it's a song to his kids, would be my guess. But, you know, you never know with Liam. But as I say, I don't think there's anything particularly exciting in the lyrics there. I think it would be worth a supercut if someone can be bothered to put it together of all the times that Liam mentions singing and songs in his songs, because he does tend to mention them quite a lot, which is kind of like songwriting 101. And just to confirm, it was never played live. by Oasis or by Liam or by BDI. And then we have the debate of where was it right where it was, as in the fact it wasn't used on anything on Don't Believe the Truth, because it wasn't finished off, apparently. It wasn't then used on Dig Out Your Soul, and it was just this kind of weird digital extra download EP thing. I think there's an argument to say it could have made it onto Don't Believe the Truth. I think there's a couple of songs on there that I think it's stronger than. You know, personally, I don't like Mucky Fingers, so I would have been happy to drop it for that. Other than that, I don't know if there's anything really that I would want to drop in favour of this, because, once again, I like the fact that a lot of the songs on Don't Believe the Truth are like quite upbeat, like Keep the Dream Alive and A Bell Will Ring, Turn Up the Sun, you know, and something like this is quite mid-tempo and quite slow-paced, so it's not a great one to have in an album, because it would slow the album down quite a bit. So yeah, I think a B-side or a download-only sort of digital track, I think, probably makes sense. So I'm pleased they recorded it. I'm pleased it wasn't sort of shelved entirely. I think there are Gem Archer demos from around the time that we've played on here before that I think would have been stronger than this one. But yeah, so I think where it was, download-only EP track and then available on the NCIS thing and the Dig Out Your Soul Deluxe, I think that probably makes sense for this song. So anyway, that's what I thought. That's what Mike D'Souza thought. What do you guys think? If you have any views, particularly on Boy With The Blues, then feel free to fire it over. If you do an audio message, I can drop it into the next episode, which would be brilliant. Right, and so next up on the A to Z, we have... Oh, it's a classic. Bring It On Down. So yeah, if you want to give your thoughts on Bring It On Down, then do go ahead. As I say, same as we said before, audio message, press record on your iPhone or whatever you've got, and email it over to oasispod@gmail.com, and if it's interesting, I'll play it. Now, we've already got a full breakdown done for it, so I don't necessarily need one, but yeah, more than happy to have more input. Absolutely fire it over, and if there's tons of you that want to chime in on it, hey, we'll do an entire episode on it. We'll do two episodes on it, don't mind. So yeah, Bring It On Down, what a tune. That will be coming up next. Right, what else have we got going on? Yeah, Chris has been in touch from the band Blue Nation.
Hey, this is Chris from Blue Nation. I got into Oasis when I was about 12 or 13, just as Watch the Story Morning Glory came out. Every track on that album has got a memory attached to it, and it came out at a point in my life where I was going through my adolescence, and it was my cultural adolescence and my cult, you know, you're forming who you are as a person and musically, your own musical identity at that time. And I remember when I bought the album, I got it home and I there was no one in, and so I sat downstairs and put it on my mom's stereo, and I remember the acoustic guitar part at the start was so quiet, so I cranked the stereo up as loud as it could go, just as Hello crashes in and shakes the house with volume. And I absolutely adore every song on that album. There's just something really special about it. And then I discovered Definitely Maybe, and then we had the madness of Be Here Now. But it was just an amazing time to be growing up around then, because we had Ocean Colour Scene, we had the Manic Street Preachers, we had the Verve, we had Suede, Cooler Shaker. There's 100 other bands as well, and it was just incredible. There was such a creative explosion in the 90s. So I'll be forever grateful that I got to grow up then. With my band's album now, I try to kind of capture a little bit of the magic on that album. We called it the Caftan Society, and we recorded it using a lot of gear that was used by Oasis that was used by the Verve, and with guitars that I had off Steve Craddock. I'm really lucky that I own Alan White's Red Sparkle drum kit that he used on the Be Here Now tour, as well as the snare drum that he used at Nebworth and Main Road. A friend of mine as well, who's a collector, owns a few incredible ex-Noel Gallagher guitars, and he lent those to us when we recorded. So we had these Ocean Colour Scene, these Verve guitars, all this Oasis gear, and I think we tried to capture a little bit of the magic, but in our own way, which I don't know if we did it or not, but you know, I hope you listen to it, and you know, I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy the track, and thanks to the Oasis podcast.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much for that, Chris. Greatly appreciated. And if you guys want to check out that band Blue Nation, then the link is in the description of this episode. And yeah, as you heard there, Chris has got some interesting connections to original Oasis guitars and things like that. So we may be hearing from him again on the podcast. So I think that will about do it for today. Next time I speak to you, we may have some new music from Noel Gallagher to be discussing. I'm thinking that's probably what's going to happen is, as soon as I press upload on this, the new track will be released, which would be just about par for the course for me, but there you go. So thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast, and a special thanks as always to our patrons. You can become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post articles by myself and various contributors. If you'd like to contribute to the Patreon, then do feel free to get in touch. Support is from $1 per month. Follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Email me oasispod@gmail.com, and please subscribe and review on iTunes. And remember, last chance really, the live event is May 17th, Water Rats, live interview with Tony McCarroll, live Oasis acoustic, DJs playing Oasis, full live band performance from R Kid, and magic from today's guest, the Magic Mod. So as ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, stay young.